If I truly believe that the scriptures are inspired by God, and that what God seeks to teach me in the scriptures are morally good and right, then surely I will want to make great effort with the help of God to understand what are the primary and important teachings, and therefore to base my life on what I honestly and sincerely believe God has shown in the scriptures. Many of us believe in the scriptures, that God has inspired the scriptures and that they show us the correct way. But to what extent do we really believe in the sense of basing our life on that? We have to learn to make our choices based on meaning. If this is the meaning that we believe in, then that should be the way we live. That is the only way I understand whereby we can find true meaning in life. So a meaningful life is a life based on meaning. That which is morally and spiritually good, with eternal value and worth. What then should we concentrate on? The scriptures show to us that if we want to follow God, we need to ensure the right concentration. The Lord Jesus teaches us in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37, the relationship between the outward and the inward. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you, that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. The Lord Jesus said, for by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. It may seem that the important thing is our words, our outward conduct, what we say, that is the important thing. However, when we look at the whole passage, we realize that the Lord Jesus tells us our words will condemn us, will justify us because of the meaning they carry from our heart. It is the heart that determines the quality of the words that we say. We know that the Pharisees were capable of saying many right words outwardly. They could praise God. They could offer prayers. They could express sympathy, compassion. They could teach the right things. But something was seriously wrong in their heart. The tree is known by its fruit. And here the Lord Jesus, when he speaks about the fruit, he's not talking about just the outward form. He's not talking about the words by themselves. He's talking about the meaning conveyed by the words, the meaning that comes from the spirit, that comes from the heart. So he says, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? The Pharisees could say many things that were good in words, but they were not saying things that were good in spirit. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. It is from the abundance of the heart that the mouth will speak. So what we say will convey what is in our heart. Of course, we may often hide them in words that sound right if our heart is wrong. But God sees the heart, and the words that we utter will condemn us when our heart is wrong. So the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. So in spite of the words that you may seek to change, to make them pleasant and right, it will not alter the meaning. Because by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned, is a reference to the meaning of the words that come from the heart. Yes, we need to pay attention to our outward conduct, what we say and what we do. But we need to understand that the value of what we say and what we do is measured by the meaning that is within our heart. Therefore, we must first concentrate on the heart and then on the outward actions. We must concentrate on the unseen and eternal before the seen and the temporal. We live in this world. We're involved with the seen and the temporal. We should speak, we should do, we should act. But we must do so, first and foremost, with the right spirit. We must ensure the right heart, and then the right outward actions. We can also evaluate our outward actions by seeking to understand why we chose such a path or said those words. What was the motive and meaning within our heart? As you evaluate our lives, we consider what we have done, what we have said. It can help us to know what is within our heart. Why do we say those words? Why do we do those things? Is it genuinely out of love for God and others? Or is it for other reasons that are not right? That is how we can learn to correct ourselves. And that's how we can bring about a change in us. So when we learn to base our life on meaning rather than feeling, it must involve the whole direction of our life, as well as every situation that we go through and every choice that we make. Whatever we choose, however we live, will constantly affect us in terms of the development within us. The eternal weight of glory that we seek to develop in our hearts will be dependent upon the way we live our lives each moment. It is true that we can often be affected by feelings. We can fail and falter in the midst of intense feelings. But let us take heed to settle down, to calm down, and ponder over the meaning of what has happened, and realign ourselves according to the right meaning. It is then that we can continue to develop. Many people think that a life filled with the Spirit of God, a life of consistent walking by the Spirit, is a very meaningful and enjoyable life, a life of freedom, a life of peace. Yes, it is true. It's a life of freedom, a life of peace, a life of meaning. But how does it come about? How do we effectively walk by the Spirit? How do we effectively live a life filled with the Spirit of God? It's important for us to recognize that it is not a life based on feeling, but it is a life based on moral and spiritual meaning that is good and eternal in value and worth. Many people experience the Holy Spirit. They concentrate on that feeling, that experience, how good it feels, and they equate that with spiritual meaning. The scriptures show us very clearly that walking by the Spirit is living by moral and spiritual meaning. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 8 is a description of a life of freedom. It tells us how we can, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, find freedom from the law of sin and of death. And the Apostle Paul then tells us that if we really walk according to the Spirit, we will experience this reality the requirement of the law will be fulfilled in us. The requirement of the law is not set aside, is not disregarded, is not rejected. The requirement of the law will be fulfilled in those who walk according to the Spirit. How is this possible? It's only possible because our hearts are set in line with the requirement of the law, the moral law of God. What is truly good and meaningful? The law is good, is holy, is righteous. If we walk by the Spirit, we will fulfill the requirement of the law. We will not reject the moral law of God. In contrast, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Why is that so? It is because the flesh lives by self-centered desires, primarily to feel good rather than to be good. This is what brings about the difficulty and the problem. We want to feel good. And this is present not just in the world at large, but also in Christian experience and pursuits. Some years ago, I saw a notice which said, "Feel good, be a volunteer." It did not say, "Be good, be a volunteer," but "Feel good, be a volunteer," because that is more attractive. Be a volunteer and feel good. That is the world's approach, and sadly, Christians also adopt this principle. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you will feel good. Obey God. Why? Because you will feel good. God says, be good. Be pure in heart. The Holy Spirit is given to us to help us to be good, to be like God, to be transformed, to be like the Lord Jesus. Yesterday, I saw someone wearing a t-shirt. And this t-shirt was an advertisement for a popular drink. And together with the name of the drink were the words, "Ministry of Enjoyment." Ministry of Enjoyment. That is what people are looking for. The world seeks for that. So too do Christians. What we want is enjoyment in whatever form that can come to us, even in spiritual pursuits. But the Apostle Paul tells us, if we want to walk by the Spirit, we must put to death the practices of the body. If we want to walk by the Spirit, we must not let sin reign in our mortal body, that we should obey its lusts. We should instead present ourselves to God and the members of our body as instruments of righteousness. Ultimately, it's up to us to decide whether we will live by our feelings, inclinations, and desires, or we will live by the holy and righteous will of God, the path of true meaning and life. We decide whether our bodies become instruments of unrighteousness or instruments of righteousness. In this part, as we seek to develop true worth, let us take heart that the outcome is truly worthwhile. If we respond well, we can be healthily confident of genuine meaning and true worth in our being and in our relationship with God, now and for eternity. Even Job recognized this when he said in Job chapter 23, verse 10, "But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." If we respond well, what is developed in us will be spiritual gold that is pure and of true worth. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I fought the good fight, I finished the course, I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. It is not just for him, it is for all who truly love God. It is a painful fight. It is a difficult course. But if we are faithful, God will grant us a deeply meaningful life in eternity. Let us then ask the Lord to help us to learn deeply from the example of the Lord Jesus, the perfect example of true worth, to look at his life, to listen to him, to receive his life, to be transformed, to be like him, that he will be formed in us, that we live our lives on the basis of meaning and not feeling, that we choose to be good and not to feel good. If we truly learn to be good, we will feel good, because a life of oneness with God will be a very enjoyable life, but it will be enjoyment of the right kind. Being good comes first, feeling good must follow, not the other way around. Meaning must come first, the feelings must follow. We cannot seek for meaning by following feeling. Let us then ask him to help us to understand the right path to take, to treasure what is of true worth, and to be determined to develop this to a very high quality in our hearts. Let's ask him to help us, for his grace is always sufficient for us. His power is perfected in the midst of our weakness. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus into this world, not just to be our example, not just to be our teacher to show us the way, but also to be our Savior, our Lord, to be our life. We thank you that we can partake of his life, that we can become like him as we choose the path of identification with him, as we commit ourselves to learn to drink of the cup and to go through the baptism with him in the whole direction of our life and in each step that we take. We thank you that you will help us, that you will be with us, you will strengthen us, you will empower us, you will manifest your glory in our lives. We pray that in the midst of altering and failures, we will draw near to you. We will come to you in a spirit of contriteness, of humility, willing to learn, to be taught, to be corrected, to be helped. We pray that we will come to you with the right spirit at all times, to know your grace sufficient for us, whatever we may face, however difficult the path, whatever others may think of us, whatever they may do to us. Help us to find our rest in you, to know that to walk with you, to be like you, to have deep fellowship with you, is the most meaningful path that we can take. We ask that you help us, that we may grow in the quality of our hearts, that we become strong in the Lord Jesus and the power of His might, that the Spirit of God will have freedom to work in us and to lead us step by step. We thank you for helping us to understand the path that is truly worthwhile. We ask that you teach us not to live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That we will base our life on what you say and not what we like. For all this, we pray and we thank you. In Jesus' name.